Thank you, Val. Stand with me as we turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 together. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for bringing us here. Father, we ask that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word and your blessing to your word that is about to be taught. Help us to hear you. Be with us now in the name of your Son. Amen. You may be seated. Glenna, thank you for putting together that time of worship and singing. I don't need to preach. That was the topic, and thank you so much that came together. Well, I'm going to preach, so. I'm going to draw 3 points from today's passage of Scripture. The first one is that you, are to be a sacrifice. And the second one is that you are to be transformed. And the third is that you are to do the will of God. Now that's quite a bit from two little verses. Today we're going to go back and visit Moses in the Old Testament. We're going to fast forward to the time of Paul and his teaching. Along the way, we're going to visit Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And we're even going to wind up in orbit. So strap yourselves in and get ready for the ride. Paul wrote in verse 1, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Well, let's start off by talking about what sacrifices were in the Bible. Sacrifices were presented to God generally for one of two reasons. If you even in the notes of my Bible, it spreads them out, but it whittles down to two main reasons: either reconciliation or praise. Sacrifices were made in the form of animal sacrifices or grain sacrifices. You would bring the animal to the altar, and it would be slaughtered, and part of it would be burned, and sometimes part of it would be given to those who served in the temple, or the grain would be brought, and some of it would be burned, and some of it would be given. But whether it be an animal sacrifice or a grain sacrifice, those sacrifices were presented for either reconciliation or praise. Now, it was Moses who wrote down the rules concerning sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. Now, these sacrifices were designed to bring God's people to a place where they were thinking about God, where they had God on their mind, where they were thinking about serving God. Now, these rules were very specific about what types of animal were to be presented for what types of sacrifices. Some sacrifices were to be burned up totally. These were usually the sin offerings, and others were presented on the altar, but parts of it was kept to feed those who worked in the temple. Now, there was the grain and the animal sacrifices, and there were two reasons to sacrifice: reconciliation and praise. That part I want you to remember, the two types of sacrifices: reconciliation and praise. Reconciliation sacrifices were designed to reconcile the individual person with God. Animals were presented in the temple as sacrifices to atone for past sins, so that the person making the sacrifice would be forgiven of their sins. We find an example of a reconciliation sacrifice when Moses was conducting the ceremony consecrating or ordaining Aaron and his sons as priests in Leviticus chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. And then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. Next, Moses slaughtered it and took the blood with his finger and put some of it around the horns of the altar and purified the altar. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. He also took all of the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat. And Moses offered it up in smoke on the altar. But the bull and its hide and its flesh and its refuse he burned outside the camp, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now Aaron and his sons, before they were able to enter service to God, there had to be a sacrifice for their sins. They had to reconcile themselves to God. They had to make atonement for their past sins. The sacrifice in this case was that bull. Now, before we can enter service to God, there has to be a sacrifice as for our sins as well. Instead of the bull, that sacrifice was Jesus Christ, God's Son. God sent him to live among us as one of us. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was tried by Herod and Pilate. He was executed a criminal's death on a cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. God sent his only Son as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, past, present, and future, so that we would not die, but instead have everlasting life. The reconciliation sacrifice has been made for us. All we have to do is accept it, and our sins are forgiven. That is the good news of the New Testament. Paul says we are to be a living sacrifice. The sacrifice of reconciliation has already been made, so that only leaves a sacrifice of praise that we are to be. We are to make a sacrifice of our own lives, a sacrifice of praise or a sacrifice of celebration to God. We see this type of sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise, in Luke 2:21, when Joseph and Mary bring the baby Jesus to the temple 8 days after he was born. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, they gave a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. They presented this sacrifice. They either presented turtle doves or pigeons. It was actually a poor person's offering, but it was still a praise offering. They offered this praise offering in celebration for God giving them a healthy son. What a praise. This is the type of sacrifice that Paul is writing about here when he tells us to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your service of worship. We are giving a sacrifice of praise because of everything that God has done for us. We know what a sacrifice is, and now we know the types of sacrifice. We know that a sacrifice of reconciliation was made for you and me at the cross when Jesus died and rose again. We know that we are to be a sacrifice of praise to God, praising him for salvation and for his daily work in our lives. We are to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That poses a problem. Sacrifices are killed and then offered to God. So what is a living sacrifice? Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Every day we are to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and die to our wants, and die to our desires, die to our agenda. And we are to present ourselves to God so that he can use you and me in our daily lives and in the lives of others. We are to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. How are we to make ourselves a sacrifice? How are we to die daily? There may be some of you are thinking, you know, this just doesn't make sense. I can't die every day. Well, of course, we're not talking about a literal death. I'm not asking you to croak over dead every day. God is not asking that. What he is asking is for a spiritual death. In our spirit, we are to die to our personal agenda. Each of us have a personal agenda. It could be our job, our goals, our hobbies, our families. It could be whatever. Paul says that by making ourselves a living sacrifice, by doing our spiritual service of worship, we are dying to these things. It is by dying to these things that we serve God in spiritual worship. By dying to our job, our goals, our hobbies, by dying even to our families and turning to God and letting him use us in our job, by letting him use us through our goals, by letting him use us even in our hobbies, by letting him use us in our families. That is our spiritual service of worship. You know, we can shed some light on this verse a little bit more if we break open the old King James Version. Instead of spiritual service, King James, or the writers back then, used the term reasonable service. It is reasonable to expect that we would want to return our service to Christ for what he has done for us. It is reasonable to expect that since Jesus died for you, and if you accept his sacrifice, you will daily turn and follow him in exchange for the price he paid for your sins, instead of you having to pay it. Because if you pay the price for your sins, you're going to die. So instead of suffering the death for sins, we died to our personal agendas instead. To follow God daily, making ourselves a living sacrifice. So what kind of sacrifice are we supposed to be? Paul writes that we're supposed to be a sacrifice acceptable to God. Well, in the Old Testament system of sacrifices, the only sacrifices that were acceptable to God were animals that were perfect and without blemish. Paul says that we are to be a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. But are we perfect and without blemish? If there is anybody here who is perfect or is perfect and without blemish, please stand. Please, I'm serious. If you are perfect, please stand. John? Oh. No. I know. I'm sorry, Curtis. As close to perfect as Curtis may be, I don't think anybody really stood up because they were perfect. Nobody here is perfect and without blemish. But let me try this. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please stand up. When God sees you and sees you as a sacrifice, he doesn't see you directly. He sees you through the reconciliation sacrifice made by Jesus. So when he sees you as perfect and without blemish. You may be seated. The first point, for those of you keeping notes, is that we are to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. There are two types of sacrifices: the sacrifice of reconciliation and the sacrifice of praise. Jesus was the reconciliation sacrifice, and we are the praise sacrifice. We're to die daily to ourselves and present ourselves to God for his use, sacrificing ourselves to him to be his living tools here on earth. Which brings us to our second point. You are to be transformed. If we're to be dying daily as a sacrifice to God, then our way of thinking has to be drastically changed. The thinking of this world is to do whatever is necessary for me. Me first. Instead, we are to think to God, not to me, not to ourselves. Our minds have to be transformed. I'd like to show you an example of a transformed mind. I brought a couple clips with me today from the James Bond movie, Moonraker. I want you to pay close attention to the henchman in this clip. His name is Jaws, and you're going to understand why in just a moment. Go ahead and play that first clip. They're in Brazil, and that's Jaws there. He's a big, strong guy. See why they call him Jaws here. That clip firmly establishes Jaws. I love Bond's line there. His name is Jaws. He kills people. It's very straight and to the point. That's Jaws' purpose in life. He's a cold-blooded killer. And of course, here he's trying to kill James Bond and the CIA agent he's working with. Now, Jaws, of course, is uniquely qualified in his job as a cold-blooded killer because of those wonderful titanium teeth, strong enough, obviously, to bite through steel cables. Of course, in this case, the filmmakers replaced the steel cables with licorice, black licorice. Jaws' purpose in life is killing. He is dedicated. Dare I say he has sacrificed himself to his profession of being a killer. Now, at the time of this film, Jaws is employed by the megalomaniac, the main villain of the film, Mr. Drax. And in true James Bond fashion, Mr. Drax is trying to take over the world. Aren't they all? And Mr. Drax's plan is that he has an orbiting space station, and he's filled this orbiting space station full of the most perfect specimens of humanity. And he's going to kill off everyone else on the planet and start all over again with these perfect specimens in his arc of whatever. And Drax is going to establish himself as their god. And Jaws is part of this. He's up there. He's, you know, he's being Drax's henchman. He's protecting him from James Bond and everything. And, you know, I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. The guys who come up with this are very creative, which is why they make lots of money, and I'm not a millionaire. Well, in this next clip, we're up on Drax's space station. And what I want you to look for here, there is a purpose I'm showing you these, and is I want you to look for Jaws' transformation. He's going to experience a transformation of the mind. And I want you to look for that. Well, see what happens when he hears the truth about who he really is and what he's really doing. So let's look for that transformation. Go ahead, Val. He's tall like our pastor. Jaws. That's his girlfriend in the pigtails, Jaws' girlfriend. You can see the smoke coming out of his ears. You have like a light bulb go off over his head. Right there, Jaws has changed sides. You can actually, and the filmmaker's art, you know, comes right out in this. You can see the moment when Jaws changes his mind. All of a sudden, he realizes, you know, I'm not one of Drax's perfect people. You know, once James Bond's out of the way, once he's accomplished his mission, he's going to push me out of that airlock. Maybe I should join the other side, which is exactly what he does. He helps Bond in escaping and helps bring Drax down and rent the movie. It's a good way to blow an hour and a half. It really is. James Bond movies are some of my favorite, right up there with anything Star Trek. And Mountain Dew, stirred, not shaken. Thank you. Jaws' transformation. He changes his mind right there on the spot, and it's that simple for us as well. Our minds need to be transformed in the same way. We need to realize that if we are following the behavior and the customs of this world, we're going to get nothing. Just as Jaws realized he was going to get nothing out of following Drax, and he switched sides, we need to realize that if we keep following the behaviors and the customs of this world, we're going to get nothing as well. Because this world is not looking out for us. This world would push us out of the airlock for all it cares. We need to turn to God, and we need to follow Him, letting Him transform us into a new person, and allowing Him to change the way that we think. We need to think of God first, instead of ourselves. It is in this way that we sacrifice ourselves to God daily. When our minds are transformed, our thoughts and actions will be transformed as well. Excuse me. Paul writes that we are not to be conformed to this world, but instead transformed by the renewing of our minds. This world teaches us that we need to look out for number one. This world teaches us that there's no right and wrong anymore. This world teaches us that there's no such thing as truth. But we've been taught that we are to follow God's will. And if our minds are transformed, we will follow God's will. And we will learn that this world is wrong. There is indeed right and wrong. We will learn that this world is wrong, that there is indeed truth. And we will learn that this world is wrong. Instead of looking out after number one, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The second point of this teaching is that we are to be transformed. We are transformed when we stop thinking of ourselves and instead turn our minds to God. When we turn towards God, we will be transformed in mind, thought, and deed. Now the third and final point, so stop checking your watches, is that we are to do the will of God. Paul writes, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, if we are doing what God teaches us to do, doing good and acceptable things, we are proving what God is and who God is to the rest of the world. Now, Pastor Jeff has established that the purpose statement for our church is this: reaching people for Christ, building people in Christ, sending people with Christ. This third section, this third point, is about the sending out. The first point was about reaching people for Christ. It was about ourselves becoming a sacrifice and then reaching out to others and helping them to become a living sacrifice to God as well. The second point, we've reached out, we've brought them in. Their minds need to be transformed. Our minds need to be transformed. We need to teach them about what it means to be a Christian. We need to teach them how to tell others about their faith. We need to teach them how to have a daily walk with God. And this third point is about sending them out now. We go out, we send others out to start it all over again. To start reaching, building, sending, reaching, building, sending. We should draw that in a circle somehow. The third point is about sending people out to start it all over again. Jesus instructed us in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We are to do the will of God. Everything on this teaching hinges on one thing, and that's our transformation. In the video clip, Jaws went from being an evil henchman into being a hero when his mind was transformed, when he realized he was working for the wrong team. We are transformed by hearing and studying the Word of God. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It doesn't happen overnight or in a few days. But we are transformed. It takes work, and it takes sacrifice on your part. You have to sacrifice yourself to what God wants. God wants you to be transformed, and you have to allow yourself to be transformed. You know, in history, there have been those who seriously tried to be transformed, and then they seriously wanted to try to prove the will of God. But they failed miserably. Look at the Crusaders. Here was a bunch of European Christians who wanted to go into the Holy Lands and retake it for Christendom. And they wanted to convert the Muslim people that lived there. On the surface, not necessarily a bad goal. But the way they did it, instead of going in with missionaries and disciples, and going in and helping the poor, and showing the love of Jesus, they went in with soldiers and swords drawn. Instead of preaching the good news, instead of telling others, you know, Jesus loves you, and all you have to do to know God is to accept his sacrifice. Instead of doing that, instead of preaching the good news, They massacred thousands. Instead of going in and loving their brothers, feeding the poor, taking care of the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those who were in prison, instead, they showed outright hatred towards the people who were there. Then, instead of being in the communities and letting their lights as Christians shine, they walled themselves up in fortresses and never came out. So what did the people who lived in these holy lands learn about Christians? They must have learned that the Crusaders never read their own scriptures. They must have learned that the Crusaders never learned what Jesus taught. They learned that instead of having transformed minds, these Crusaders were doing their own will instead. These Crusaders managed to harm the relationship between Christians and Muslims permanently, because instead of doing the will of God, instead of doing the work of God, they went in and did their own goals. Of course, there have also been those in history who have gone out and sought the will of God and have done great things in His name because they turned themselves over to God. And Mother Teresa is a great example of this. She entered the ministry as a nun and requested to go to Calcutta, India, where she served the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor, and the sickest of the sick. She never sought attention to her work, but because of her work, she drew the attention of the world, bringing in resources and sponsors, such as the late Princess Diana. People, resources that would continue to do God's work among the least of these. But we don't need to look to Calcutta, India to find examples. Look around you. There are examples all among us. All of those who serve in HeartWorks Ministries. What a great example for us to follow. There's Annie Wise, who's given a lifetime of service to our God. Pastor Jeff, Pastor Val, Pastor Joel, our board, our PAC, all of those who serve in the various ministries of Richmond Community Church, they've all answered the call of God to sacrifice themselves, to be transformed, and to prove the will of God. You have to sacrifice yourself to God and submit to Him so that you will be transformed into somebody who follows Him and prove His will. Don't go on your own path and say that it's God's path. That's what the Crusaders did. They weren't following the will of God. And if you're on your own path saying it's God's path, you're not following the will of God either. So what can you do to be transformed? Well, you can seek out others who can help you. If you have an addiction, seek out those who are skilled in treating the addiction. What can you do to be transformed? Read the Bible. Pray. If you don't understand what the Bible says when you read it, seek out somebody who does understand it and ask them to help you. If you don't have a Bible, for goodness sakes, they're on the back table. They're free. Please, take one. I'm not kidding. You don't have a Bible, take one. They're free. What can you do to be transformed? Listen to sermons. Join a discipleship group. Go to Sunday school. Fellowship with other Christians. All of these things will help you to grow and to mature in your faith. They will help you to become transformed. And if you want to know what the will of God is, well, here it is, in Jesus' own words. John 8:11. From now on, sin no more. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And Matthew 22:37, where Jesus quotes Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You want to know the will of God? There it is. Go and sin no more. Go and preach the gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. With all your heart, soul, and with all your mind. and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the will of God. You are to be a sacrifice. Sacrifice yourself daily to God, turning to Him and to His will. If you turn to Him, you will be transformed. You will not follow the ways of the world, but you will follow the ways of God, so that you will do and prove the perfect will of God. Your assignment this week is this. Spend some time each morning in prayer with God. Seek His will through prayer and scripture reading. Repeat as necessary until you're transformed. Paul wrote, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Paul wrote, "Now you act." Will the worship team come forward?